free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net. We can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined this evening, January 5th, 2009, by Todd Thorpe and Timothy Wheeler, both of TWM Technologies Incorporated. They have developed an electromagnetic energy device which sips power from 6 motorcycle batteries while also recharging them. The next prototype is expected to surpass 100% efficient. We'll talk about how that's possible with the help from some stuff from the environment, what nature provides to us for free. I should note that we had a show on December 1st, 2008, an interview with Henry Johnson, who's marketing director from this company. And he's fairly new to the company, and in his exuberance did say a few things that made Todd Thorpe just a little bit antsy. And one of us kind of set the record straight a little bit. So we're glad to have them on the show again. They have a very fascinating technology. I was talking to Todd earlier today. And I'm glad to have them on the show so they can tell us what they've got and how it's going to change the planet. Todd and Timothy, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Well, first of all, let's talk about, kind of give a ballpark idea of what is this technology, what does it do, and where is it going to go, how is it going to impact the energy sector, and why is it different from what's already out there?
You want to take that one, Timmy, or would you like me to?
You go ahead, Todd.
Okay. How is it different than a conventional motor? It's different.
Yeah, let's talk about what the motor is, kind of how it's set up and some of the highlights of what sets it apart. And go ahead, Todd.
Well, it's plastic for one. Its weight ratio comparatively to a conventional motor is quite a bit significant. The weight difference is quite a bit better, than any standard motor out there. Housing is two or more stage. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Can you take that one, Timmy?
Yeah, no problem. The difference on the electric motors is here when we have. Your common electric motors are made of metal most of the time, and the weight ratio of like a 200 horsepower electric motor would be kind of hard to put in a vehicle. You pretty much smash the wheels on it. And so what we're trying to do is get the weight down and put a motor of a couple hundred horse into a vehicle that won't destroy it. We always also looking for a torque line like a gasoline engine and an ability to possibly, keep up with the charging of the system itself. You got your common battery motors today. They run usually AC motors. They run a battery and an inverter. We're running AC. We're running DC motor. And what we're doing with the DC motors, we have a generation system built with inside of it. It's not fully 100% recoverable. It recovers about 35% of it. Our voltages. Voltage is what a lot of people see. It kind of throws them off a little bit. Like we're putting a common one right now is a 36-volt one right now we're working with, and it puts out 118 volts, but volts is not amps. When you start drawing down on that, you produce, say, 1.6 amps, 1.7 amps, and you're putting 1.5 amp on one side, 1.5 amp on the other side, so you're not really fully recovering 100% of what you're actually burning from the batteries, but you're prolonging it longer than most conventional motors. So your differences is quite significant. The conventional motors you have today, most motors are just a plain motor. That's what they do. They run as a motor. They don't put out any outgoing current that goes back into the batteries. They don't recover anything they use. They just burn. There's quite a few differences in it. Plastic, like I say, that's it's mostly not, I wouldn't say biodegradable, but you can build it out of just about anything you pick out of, recycled plastic, melt it down, turn blocks out of it, stuff like that. So it's pretty much stuff you got laying around that pretty much disregarded. So that's what we built it out of, is disregarded.
The reason that most motors can't go with plastic is because it gets so hot and it's going to melt the plastic. Your motor runs basically the same as ambient temperature, if I understand right.
Very little heat. We don't have enough heat to actually disturb the plastic, even underneath heavy loads. We loaded it down to stall and down to more than a 50% load, more than you would load a conventional motor, and we still didn't produce enough heat to cause any kind of damage or whining, burning, or actually shorting of any fuses or anything else. It did quite well. We were pretty surprised about that part of it.
Another thing Todd was talking about earlier today was that the faster you go on the RPMs on this thing, the more efficient it gets, and the less energy you're pulling per the output, the energy that you're getting.
What you get is you get a rotating. With most conventional motors, you have a rotation, that is what you get. With this one here, you've got a rotating stroke, so therefore you do have some certain components in there that do keep momentum. So when you get the momentum actually going, more or less like a large rotating wheel or something like that there, if you get that moving, once in motion tends to stay in motion. So once you create the RPMs, as you get that up to a certain spot, it will maintain and also cause a little bit better efficiency. You can add flywheels to it to get even more efficiency to that there. There's quite a few factors in it that is different from conventional units today.
It compresses the magnetic fields and releases them in a stroke system, similar to a rotary engine or a turbine, basically.
Now, you're saying that this motor, one of the things that makes it work is that you found a way to harness the power of magnets. And, of course, physics says that, you know, you can use magnets as a tool, but you can't use it as a source. And you're saying that in your configuration, somehow magnets are acting in such a way that whether it's somehow disturbing the local magnetic field of the Earth or the universe, it's acting as a vortex, an influx from the environment to come into the machine to provide additional energy that accounts for why you're getting more energy out than what typical science would say is possible with how much energy you're putting in terms of electricity.
To a sense, what we do is use the permanent magnetic field within it to actually... how would I explain that there? Let me see.
We're using both sides of the permanent magnet. We're using 100% of the permanent magnet field, and we're using 100% of the electromagnetic field, you know, there. We're using both sides of the electromagnet, so we're using 100% of that, and we're using 100% of the field on a compressed rotor. Meaning when we compress that rotor, we're using both sides of that electromagnet. We're also using both sides of the permanent magnet, which is then, it's kind of just kicking back. It's the thing's just pulsing and going crazy. And that's where the power back, you know, the kickback of the compression is basically, that's how it releases that stroke.
Now, in most motors, what you have is back EMF. As you have this coil, electromagnet, that you put electricity into it, and you have this expanded field, which then causes a repulsion or attraction to a nearby magnet, causes the thing to turn. And then as the field collapses, as you turn that electromagnet off, it tends to work against the motor, and you have to overcome that. And in your motor, that back EMF is almost non-existent?
Yeah, because we're using true Ohm's law on that. Standard motor EMF or CMF systems causes the motor to be limited on RPM and torque. That's exactly what you're saying there. And we utilize EMF to basically prolong our life, our battery power in the recovery system of that. We're basically using pickup coils, you know, like a pickup coil, and picking up power and using it to propel it for a longer period of time.
Are you using the batteries to store that temporarily before it dumps into the coil the next round?
Demi?
What we do is we use the batteries to initiate the actual firing of the engine. What we do is when we fire that, we actually fire it on a double system is what we do. So you're not only, in most conventional motors, either push or they're either pull. We use both sides. We use a push and a pull, and then we use a live system of a live negative and a live positive. So in turn, what we do, we have both of the electromagnetic fields from negative to positive switching. It's like a gigantic switching transistor system that runs the motor. So the motor doesn't actually run direct wired, and it's not. That's why we don't get it so hot. And in turn of doing that, you're creating that eddy field in the center of the unit, and that can be used quite efficiently to go back into the battery. So we initially run the motor with the batteries, and then we use the secondary system on that to actually put it back into them through pulse regulation.
Before we go to break, tell us really quickly what the price point would be for the same output for your motor if somebody were to, once this thing goes commercial.
Oh, God.
You know, one-third the cost.
Yeah, that's what Todd answered that one. I really couldn't answer anything like that.
The question was what cost?
Yeah, what kind of cost are we going to be talking about once this goes commercial compared to another motor? How much is this one going to cost for the same output?
Wow. I guess it depends on what size you're targeting. You know, this thing can be scaled up in any size. You can mm-hmm. build a small one for tools. You know, you can target really every aspect of everything. This can be used for two-wheel, four-wheel vehicles, semis, trucks. You really can build it to suit. So, and as far as price-wise, I think our motor has a lot less moving parts. There is no armature. There is no windings to burn up. Other than the electromagnet windings, those do not get heat, though. I think we're out of time
When we come back from break, maybe we could refer to the image that's up at PezWiki.com on our coverage about your technology. If somebody wants to look that up under TWM technology.
Will you be ready when gas prices go back up? Convert your vehicle to a hydrogen boost hybrid. Get 15 to 25% improved gas mileage guaranteed or your money back and cleaner emissions. Hydrogen Boost has 8 years of experience in hydrogen injection and mileage enhancement and a money back satisfaction guarantee. Visit www.hydrogen-boost.com or call 518-480-4026. Hydrogen Boost, 518-480-4026 or visit hydrogen-boost.com.
I plugged the Scan Gauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The Scan Gauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The Scan Gauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at scangauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Energy efficiency interviews are brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
So, Lisa, do you always leave your stereo on, even when you're not there to listen to it?
What stereo?
The one you left on in the other room.
Oh, that one. I was going to turn it off, actually, but I got distracted. I mean, come on. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has mistakes.
Hang on. You're just repeating the lyrics to Hannah Montana's song.
Nobody's perfect.
Okay, I'm turning it off.
Millions of kids are using their energy wisely. What's your excuse? Learn more at loseyourexcuse.gov.
free energy now.
We're coming back at you in the Eagle Mountain, Utah area, and we're talking tonight to Timothy Wheeler and Todd Thorpe of TWM Technologies Incorporated. They have an electromagnet motor that's quite unusual. It's quite similar, actually, to another motor that we have featured on our website, Millennial Motors. Very unusual setup. The new science, new approach, not out on the market yet. Two companies with very similar approaches, and I was encouraging Todd today, actually, to try and get on the horn with those guys and work together, because they both have some fascinating stuff, some really interesting results, and some tests that they've done on their prototypes. They're getting very little heat generation during operation, and there are also very few moving parts, so this could be very cheaply built. Have a lot more applications than what present motors are able to do because of their weight and the inefficiency in some cases. I mentioned before we went to break that we would refer to an image on our website that was given to us when we were creating a feature page about this. If you go to peswiki.com, that's P-E-S-W-I-K-I.com, and just enter the word TWM technology.
Actually, it's TWM. I'm sorry.
M as in Mary.
M as in Mary, but you may have it on there as N now, but it's actually TWM.
Yeah, that's what we've got on our site.
Okay.
N as in magnet.
N, yes, exactly.
Right. And I didn't mention when we started the show that, Timothy, you were the inventor of this technology, and Todd is an engineer who's been helping you. How long have you guys been working on this?
Been on it for about 3 years now.
A little over 3 years, I'd say.
And what led you into this? What was the aha moment that spurred you in this direction?
I've always been curious about electric motors. I've always worked on them. My father used to build electric motors and rebuild a lot of starters and stuff like that. And kind of taught me at a young age alternators and starter rebuild and AC motors, DC motors. So I kind of was intrigued a little bit of what I could actually do with something like that. It's a little out of the box. It's a lot different than anything I've ever worked on. It's very unique. You can do a lot of damage to it before it will actually quit. Most conventional motors, if you damage anything in them, they quit. This one here, you can do a significant amount of damage before it'll quit.
And you've actually tested that. You've actually had a prototype that you've purposely or accidentally damaged, and it kept working?
We have actually, we have several prototypes, and yes, I have damaged them to see what they will do. There is three wires on it that do run it, and you can unhook any one of the individual wires, and it will stay running. You can unhook the central ground. You can unhook one and put it back on. You can unhook one of the negatives, put it back on. You can unhook the positive and put it back on, and it'll still stay functioning. That's a little bit tricky to some people, but not with this conventional unit. You can destroy half the side of one stator plate, and it will still stay functioning. You can destroy a half of the other side of the bottom side of the opposite stator plate, and it will still function. It's quite unique.
Okay, let's go to this image that we have on our site. You've got three rotating shafts that are embedded with magnets inside of them, these permanent magnets.
Three rotors, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, three rotors. And then between those three rotors, you have electromagnets that are stationary with kind of a nail shape, a T at the end that is toward the middle of the three.
Precisely.
And so it's that middle rotor that is seeing that both sides of the magnet are being used, and that both sides of the electromagnet are being used, both stator sets. And then on the outside and inside rotors, of course, one side's facing outside. It's only one half of that magnet is being put to work, so to speak. But let's describe what's going on there, where you have both a push and a pull going on. You're grabbing some energy as it goes. Not only are you pushing, but you're grabbing energy coming in, so it's not going to waste. Let's just talk about that.
Well, you got your push and your pull, what you've got, and you've got what they call, the, like you said earlier, the back EMF. Your back EMF, if you actually put it within a metal field, you would get what you call a rotating eddy field. So if you do make this thing out of the wrong type of materials, you do get a very non-functional unit. But because of the material it's made out of, is what you get is you get a very easily to use recovery system. And in turn, you can actually, it can be beefed up. It can be a higher voltage. It can be a lower voltage. You can take it up to quite a high voltage. Now, right now, it's 135, 125, 116 around that area. It varies a little bit to RPM range. We do have one prototype that puts out a little over 200. We have not went any further than that. I can go further than that, but it gets, the further you get up on your voltage, the less useful it really is. I mean, if you're putting out, say, 500 volts, what are you going to use that for? I mean, you could blow the batteries up. You could destroy the lead plates. There's a lot of things that you can really, if you were using for a charge capability or a generation capability, like generator, it would be quite efficient. You could actually use a couple of the units for generating, and you could use a couple of the units for charging, and you could do several things with it. And this
let's pause for a minute on that point. Most people may know that motors, when they are turned by the shaft, can actually act as generators often, not necessarily always the case nowadays. But is that the case with your motor, where you input electricity and it turns a shaft? That's the motor function. If you turn the shaft, you can generate electricity. That's the generator function. Can you do both?
Well, sure. Sure. Yes, you can. Yes, you can generate by turning the shaft itself. Not a problem at all. You could actually generate quite a massive amount of electrical current without a real heavy load. So it would be also brushless. So it would be very efficient for a generator.
What kind of conditioning are you going to have to do on that? I mean, if you're putting out 200 volts, that's not usable by electrical appliances.
You can actually wind that to the voltage you need. It depends on the application you're putting it in and what you're actually using it for. So if you're using it for charging capability, it really, around 100, 135, that's pretty good. It goes into the charging capability system. Well, the charging system, like I say, is a pulse width regulation system. So you can actually adjust it to what you're actually putting back into the batteries. You can fully load it, and pretty much what it does is just gets useless when you fully load it. So what we do is we actually pulse generate it and put it back into it like a trickle charger. So it takes a long period of time to actually run dead. A lot longer than anything would be conventional. There is ways that we can add to it. Like I say, there's wind products we're looking at. There's solar products we're looking at. There's different type of batteries we're looking at. We're pretty much very early in the stage of development on this here, and that's where we kind of ran off. That's where Henry was giving us a hand, and thank God for Henry. I mean, he's done extremely well. A very excitable man, but he's done very good for us so far.
Uh-huh. Now, you have filed a patent on this, and that's not been awarded yet, but you say that it has been approved?
Yes, that has been researched, and we did the search to find out if there was any other prior artwork to it that was anything existent like this. We've got that approval. We do have our patent approval back. We've done pretty good on that one. I was very happy that there wasn't no prior art.
It was published on, the publishing date was June 19th of 2008. We filed a provisional patent, I believe it was, it was filed on December 19th of 2006. And we filed for our patent August 13th of 2007. And like I said, it came out June 19th
of 2008. Okay. Now, when we're talking, when we come back from break, I'd like to just talk a little bit more about the function of this thing and the push and the pull and how that compares to other motors. Is that something that happens in present motors, or is this something that is unique or something that is used in your motor, maybe used elsewhere? Maybe we can just talk about that aspect.
Okay.
And other aspects of your motor and the ramifications of its applications.
Sounds good.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100kfnx.com. kfnx.com. Around the clock news, coverage you can count on. You're listening to KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. A Bahamian autopsy finds that John Travolta's teenage son died of a seizure disorder. But forensic pathologist Cyril Weck tells CNN's Larry King Live that diagnosis appears to be premature.
You cannot make a diagnosis of convulsive seizure disorder like you make a diagnosis of a myocardial infarct. It is not something you can see. It is only something you can ascertain through an exclusionary process.
So how bad was 2008 for American consumers? Well, on top of everything else, a new report reveals bankruptcy filings jumping by nearly a third. Needless to say, it was also a tough year for automakers, and December was no exception. The six largest companies reporting sales drops of more than 30% each. Barack Obama is hoping lower taxes will help resolve some of those financial problems. The president-elect planning some $300 billion worth of tax cuts for individuals and businesses. This is CNN Radio.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Crisp and cool out there tonight. Overnight lows about 40 midtown and mid-30s in our colder spots. But then we warm up the rest of the week, 62 tomorrow, mid to upper 60s through the weekend. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 53 degrees.
Incredible One is now introducing the most advanced weight loss program on the planet. Incredible One has developed the most complete probiotic matrix available on the market. Combined with our unique metabolic typing process, Incredible One will help you become the Incredible One you've always dreamed of. In under 60 minutes, we can type, prep, and prepare you for success. Incredible One expands the horizons of weight loss far beyond calories and inches. We approach the subject of weight loss from a total body concept and monitor seven numbers that allow you to see how quickly the fat will melt off your body, leaving you well-toned, sleek, and strong. Why? Because you will be fundamentally healthy. Your entire metabolism will become synchronized, and you will perform like a fine-tuned racing machine. Call 623-322-9723. That's 623-322-9723. Incredible One is now introducing the most advanced weight loss program on the planet. 623-322-9723.
When you are looking for ways to save money and still provide protection for your family, then make a toll-free call to Termco. Having life insurance is important. The great news is you don't have to spend a fortune to get excellent coverage. In fact, when you call Termco, they will go to work for you to give you a free quote to show you how much you can save. Gil Edwards with Termco Insurance Agency specializes in saving people money on top-rated term life insurance. Find out if you are paying too much or if you don't have enough. Ask about the new return of premium life insurance. This policy will return your entire premium back to you after 20 to 30 years tax-free, guaranteed. Your family is protected either way. With Termco, you get the best coverage at the lowest possible rate. Protection and savings. Call for a free, no-obligation quote. The call and quote are absolutely free. Call 800-918-7096. 800-918-7096. That's 800-918-7096. 800-918-7096.
Gonna make a change in some lives today. We will work for not for profit. Grassroots movement spread the word today. We wanna make the world a little bit better. We just wanna help the world today.
Free energy now.
We really wanna change the world today.
Eagle Mountain, Utah. Energy now.
We really want to change the world today. We just want to help the world.
866-536-1100.
That's the toll-free call-in number if you're listening live, 866-536-1100, 1100 KFNX. Sterling Allen coming back to you to talk about this electromagnetic energy builder by Todd Thorpe and Timothy Wheeler of TWM, M as in Mary, Technologies Incorporated. They have a very fascinating, unusual design. They're operating out of Bay City, Michigan, and there, where there's a lot of disruption in the mainstream technology sector, maybe they can help revive that with a new industry. Todd and Tim, we're back, and let's pick up where we left off. I was asking you about this push and pull phenomena, where not only as the magnet's coming in, you're attracting it in, then it goes past the electromagnet, you're pushing it away. How many other motors use that concept?
I don't know how many others are using that concept, but I know how ours works in the fact that the rotors that are connected to the shaft that rotate, as they interact with the electromagnet, the push side first interacts, and as it interacts across the length of that electromagnet, the exact second it meets the end of it, the pull kicks in. And that's why we feed it two separate feeds. We're feeding it 36 volts to the positive side, 36 volts to the negative side. So at any one point, they're not both on at the same time. And that's what we were touching on that a little bit today when we were talking. Like I say, the push side ends and the pull side begins. And because we've got a separated system, it's not pulling. Let's say you pull 2 amps off the positive side and you pull 2 amps off the negative side. You're not pulling a total of 4 amps. You're pulling 2 on, you know, either side at one given moment. So actually, it'd be a second there because it happens so quick. So that's why as the rotation of the rotors spin quicker, the time on is a lot less. So the faster the RPMs, the less time on. But you're also getting a lot more pulses there too as the RPMs increase. So, you know, I'm spinning in a circle a little bit there, but that's how it works in relative to the rotational use of power to keep it rotating. You know what I'm saying? Basically, it's on and off so quick as the RPMs increase, you're going to be using less power in this configuration. And like I said, because of the compression of those permanent magnets, I think, like I said, the kickback of it, the way it's pulsing and building upon itself, gives some sort of environmental power back.
Now, let's talk about that for a second. First, I just want to mention, per our conversation earlier today, you said that this motor is very conducive to being able to run at very high RPMs. Whereas other typical motors have a hard time going up above certain speeds. Yours
right.
Actually will only be limited by the material strength of the rotors so things don't go flying out. And so as strong as you can make it, basically it could go as fast as you wanted.
Right. Well, if you apply more power, VDC, VAC, that's volts DC or volts AC, to any standard motor, they're all rated at certain ratings, and, you know, you're going to burn windings and things like that, et cetera. You're going to do untold damage to that motor. This motor has no such limitations.
Your existing prototype, you said, has achieved 10,000 RPMs, and once optimized, you can see that it could go as high as 20 to 25,000 RPM. And what you
say that's correct.
Sounds like a jet engine when it's going.
Well, that's one of, I touched on a little bit of one of our confidential prototypes that I didn't really touch on much of it, but yes, it's a new prototype other than what you see in the picture of the article. But it is another type of motor that we are experimenting with, and it does sound like a jet engine, and it is reaching 10,000 RPMs, and we think we can make it easily a lot better than what it is now. We built it loose just because we were afraid that it would fly apart, you know, at such high RPMs and things like that. But yes, it is amazing. It's the RPMs we're reaching with it already, and I don't think it's out of the question to hit 20,000 plus RPMs with it in the near future. But we're going to experiment with that more in the near future here.
Let's delve on the theory for a second per our earlier conversation as well. What you were talking about, as the RPMs increase on this thing, the efficiency seems to be increasing, and I was just speculating a little bit, and you seem to agree that it's a plausible speculation. Let's just veer for a second into another area. Tidal energy is something that people can relate to. You've got the moon going around the Earth. The Earth is a fairly solid piece of mass compared to the water that's loose and can slosh back and forth as it's pulled toward or the moon, whichever direction it's on. The Earth spins once every day. The moon is going around once a month. Uh-huh. And so you have these tides going back and forth because of this flux effect. Why can't we broaden the imagination of scientists around the world? We've got this Earth that's very magnetic. You've got the North and South Pole. The sun's magnetic. The planets are magnetic. And probably everything else that's floating around in the universe is also magnetic. And these things are moving in relation to each other. You know that when you take two magnets and bring them together, that those fields flux and change shape.
Right.
And so it's not only possible, but it would seem like a no-brainer that you've got flux of massive electromagnetic fields going on, and it's plausible that devices such as this are able to harness that flux, pull it in, act like a vortex of sorts to monopolize on that magnetic tide, if you want to use a term that we can relate to.
Correct.
And so it's not perpetual motion that because you're getting more energy out than what you put in. It's just acting as a device that's harnessing energy that's available for free and inexhaustible from nature.
Exactly. Kind of like I was touching on earlier. In a way, the permanent magnets are kind of like a fuel source in this motor that they make it spin as they interact with the electromagnets. And we wanted to devise a motor that just, you know, will just blow you away in every aspect other than the fact that it's lightweight, other than the fact that you can wire it in so many different ways to get different results. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought here. I'm looking at some notes and stuff. I lost my train of thought. But, yeah, it's amazing what it can do, and like you said, it could be harnessed in some sort of magnetic power that we can't quite do the math on, so to speak.
Not yet.
Not yet, anyways. Yes.
Right, but you have noticed some very unusual effects with this.
Right.
And one of the things that I also wanted to make reference to, one of the scientists in the world of quote unquote free energy is Peter Lindemann. In fact, if you Google free energy, his site is the first one that comes up. Ours is the second, our freeenergynews.com. He's got a book called Cold Electricity, where he talks about the work of Nikola Tesla, and where he talked about if you have a really short spark gap, where you have a really punctuated change in the electromagnetic field, that seems to be the gate, so to speak, that pulls in this environmental energy. And when you talk about as these pulses get shorter and shorter in duration as the magnets and the electromagnetic or magnet are interacting, you may be getting to that pulse duration that is starting to harness some of that environmental energy. Just, throwing that out, food for thought.
Yeah, I think that's very well that we are doing that because of the great the amounts of energy we're receiving off of the RPMs, the way it works. Like I said, we're not spinning anything. We're not a standard motor. Like I said, it's got limits and stuff because it's got windings that are spinning and things. The only thing spinning our motor is the shaft and the rotors. Like I say, the permanent magnets in the rotors use the electromagnets to fling the fling effect, so to speak, to get rotation. And yeah, it is harnessing some sort of, because of the compression of those rotors, I think it is harnessing some sort of environmental aspect to it. How I can pinpoint that.
I'm curious, too, if you,
kind of hard.
I'm curious if your rotor gets some torque on it against the shaft as the magnet is pushed is pulled one direction and pulled the other direction back and forth. Maybe we can go into that when we come back from break a little bit. And also talk a little bit more about where you're at in the process of rolling this out. Plenty of things to talk about when we come back for break.
All right. Thank you.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Will you be ready when gas prices go back up? Convert your vehicle to a hydrogen boost hybrid. Get 15 to 25% improved gas mileage guaranteed or your money back. And cleaner emissions. Hydrogen Boost has 8 years of experience in hydrogen injection and mileage enhancement and a money back satisfaction guarantee. Visit www.hydrogen-boost.com or call 518-480-4026. Hydrogen Boost, 518-480-4026 or visit hydrogen-boost.com.
Attention restaurant owners, you've already seen the impact of these economic times. Your seats are empty. Your staff is sitting around with nothing to do. Your food is going to waste. What can you do? Use barter credits instead of cash with Premier Barter. We can show you how to use barter as a tool to increase business and save valuable cash. Fill the seats in your restaurant with new customers. Use your barter dollars for day-to-day expenses, more advertising for cash customers, and treat yourself and your staff to bonuses and gifts, all without spending cash. With offices in Arizona, California, and Colorado, Premier Barter is the ultimate cash management tool. Think you know barter? Think again. Premier Barter, 602-470-8020, or on the web at www.premierbarter.com. Fill the seats in your restaurant with new customers without spending cash. That's 602-470-8020 or www.premierbarter.com.
Free energy, now!
Sterling Allen coming back at you. Free Energy Now. We are talking to Todd Thorpe, president of TWN Technologies, and the inventor, who is Timothy Wheeler. They have invented an electromagnet and motor device, can also serve as a generator. Has some very unusual characteristics, kind of a new science. Physicists and engineers that have looked at their schematics have said that won't work, and yet the thing is they're spinning and running and has some very unusual effects. They've built a number of prototypes out of plastic, recyclable materials. The thing runs cool enough that you don't have to build it out of metal. Enables you to do all kinds of things in terms of harnessing the EMF rather than throwing that away as wasted energy. And they appear to be possibly harnessing energy from nature so that you put in X amount of electricity, the amount of energy you're getting out is far in excess of what you would expect for the amount of electricity that you're putting in. Will you be able to, this is now going back to talking to Tim and Todd, will you be able to self-loop this thing so that the energy coming out could power the input, and then you have energy left over so the thing can serve as a perpetual generator, so to speak? And I use the word perpetual as a continuous drawing energy from the nature.
Well, Timmy, you could probably, we're working on just that, but that's still to come. Timmy could probably explain that a little better than myself.
I'm at this here particular time, we've done pretty good to bring it up to 35% going back into it. We're at, like I say, our experimentation of it's kind of limited. Our funds have been kind of really slim, and things have been really slow during the time here. We've had, you know, as you know, the economy doing very good, jobs are slim, as for the perpetual motion, no, we have not been able to do anything like that there. We're trying to get to that area. I would like to sometime, some point in time, actually accomplish that. It hasn't been accomplished by anybody else. I'm trying, but so far not too fair on that one. We've enabled ourselves to pull 35 to 45% going back into the batteries itself, but as for trying to run it with itself, what it does is it inverts the fields. Either you're going to get DC and you're going to get a separate source coming out, or if you try to invert that, you're going to get the separate source going in. So you're going to rob Pete to pay Paul. You're going to get one or the other. And what it'll do is it'll just invert the fields. I'm working on a possible generator to add to it within the windings that would actually boost that up to possibly even get me up there to an area where it may do that. But right now, not that hasn't been accomplished yet. We still got some experimentation to do. On each time we do experiment with this thing, we do find out something new. We do find another field. We do come up with different results each time, better, some worse, some better. As for the horsepower, torque, the torque has stayed very, very straight-lined. Very happy with that. Outgoing current, we're very happy with that. The amperage could be a little bit stronger. Ingoing functional voltage to run it with, we can vary that at any given time by shortening our windows on our firing units, and either that or narrowing them. We can go from a higher voltage to a lower voltage at any given time, higher horsepower to a lower horsepower at any given time by a simple adjustment. These motors, like I say, are very unique, very different. Not too many motors you can take from either, say, for a speculation from one horse to five horse within a simple adjustment, a simple change of voltages, or a simple change of timing. They're, like I say, they're quite unique in their abilities. And as you say, tapping into nature, to a sense, but to a sense not. You're tapping into a magnetic field that you can actually store within that field. So as you charge them, they actually charge themselves a little bit more than what they're supposed to be. And you know as well as everybody else, we have a magnetic field all around us at all times. So, yeah, in a sense, we do tap into that. In a sense of doing anything that is outside of the box, no. I don't see that happening. And you spoke of Eli Tesla. Eli Tesla was a very... very intelligent and very credible man. He did do some things with electricity that normal people do not. We're not claiming to do that. Eli Tesla is very a lot to compete with. That's we're not within his range. I mean, someday we may be if we get a proper amount of professors working with us. We may do very well, but right now we're just kind of fighting along, and we've got something unique, and we're trying to get it out there to the people to actually prolong the system and keep them from charging their car on an everyday basis.
Quick question or clarification. You were saying that you're happy with the current, but you'd like to see an increase in amperes. That's the same thing. Did you mean to say something else?
The current is, basically your current and amperage is about, they kind of one and the same. I would say voltage. I've changed that into volt. I'm very happy with my voltage coming out.
Okay.
I'm not very happy with the amperage, which where it runs in current and amperage. Everybody gets that confused, even me. Our voltage is around, like I say, I'm about 116. Our amperage is around 1.8 to almost 2. It varies, like I say, to your RPMs. And we'd like to get that up to a little higher range there, and then we'd probably get a little bit better results, actually, trying to put it back into it.
Also, wanted to get some clarification on when you're talking about the work of Nikola Tesla, and you don't think that you're necessarily harnessing some of the effects that he observed and documented and integrated, but for some of the things that you were describing seem to have some parallels. That was the analogy I was making. Would you agree that there may be some analogy there?
I don't really want to comment on that too much. I mean, Nikola Tesla was, like I say, an incredible human being, and I cannot, I don't want to comment on anything like that. There's things he did that most people are not capable of.
And I can tell you that, you know how the Tesla coil works. You put in 50,000 volts and you could get out 150. In a sense, in a small sense, we are doing a little bit of the same. We're putting 12 volts in, and we're getting out about 118, 117. So in a sense, yes, we are doing somewhat.
Of course, energy is a function of volts and amps and power factor.
Mm-hmm.
You've got those three things that are multiplied together. So if your volts go up, your amps are probably going to go down. It's those multiplied together that's the most important equation. Now, let's talk for a second about where you're at as a company. You've built some prototypes. You've got something that people can go in and test. In terms of getting this out to where other people can experiment with it, when do you expect that you will post a set of plans, enough information that other people can start tinkering with this and not necessarily open sourcing it, but because if you've got a patent, then it's not open source because you control what happens with it. If you can say, here's our patent. If you want to play around with this, go ahead, but don't go into do anything commercial without our permission. And, of course, that will be limited to where your patents are where you have jurisdiction. But do you see yourself opening up the plans at some point so other people, other groups can start playing around with this idea?
That's a tough question there. I'd have to say, Timmy, what do you think?
Well, what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to actually, the marketing agency is trying to help us find someone to possibly either a sales on this or to actually start producing it. What we want to do is actually start producing it, getting it out there, and actually putting on some, propelling a machine and actually utilizing it, using it. We have not actually propelled anything with it yet. What we're doing right now at this given time, we are actually putting a small moped together to actually put it out there to get some test data so people can see exactly what it will do. And that's just on one of our models that we made for a model. I mean, we didn't even make it to propel anything. We made it to prove the concept. And we did prove the concept, so now I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to take the concept motor and I'm going to throw it on something and I'm going to run it until it either quits or does what I want it to do. So I want to actually test that and see sort of like a life test, how long it will actually last. And we'll probably have that done within the week here. We are actually producing that unit right here. I'd love to put it in a vehicle, but right now we're not. We're working on one to go in a vehicle, but we haven't accomplished that as of yet either. We have the prototype that is large enough for it being built right now at this time.
Typically, if I understand right, the process of taking a motor into the marketplace is many years and many millions of dollars because you've got to go through all kinds of testing, you've got to get certifications from UL and on and on and on. It seems like you're in kind of an alpha, maybe early, possibly even premature beta testing.
Oh, sure we are. Sure, exactly. We are at the beginning, the very start of a line. And like I say, it's a prototype. Go ahead.
So once you've got the prototype tested, you'll have more data to go by that might help you get the funding that you need to get more engineering, to get this thing so it's closer to a production prototype. You're probably looking at 18 months minimum on something like that.
Oh, sure, sure. I mean, anything takes time like that. I mean, we've got 3 years into it now. We've got a lot of heart and soul into it. We've got a lot of people looking at us, and we're doing quite well. We have not had one fail. We have not ever burned one up. We've never melted one or anything like that, but we have did some damage tests to see exactly what they will take. And basically when we propel something, we'll have very good test results on that to even find out what it does do, loading it at at least a 30 to 50% range and actually using it and see how it's
a website that we can give to people before we end the show?
Todd would have that. I'm pretty sure he has a website for our main guy there.
I'd like to tell people that, you know, do you want to continue on harming our environment with oil and, you know, spewing toxins into our air, or do we want to basically redirect and change to a more earth friendly type of way to get around. And I think everybody would want to do that, you know.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us. We'll have to wrap it up, and people can go online to PezWiki.com to get more information.
Thank you. At FreeEnergyNow.net. And join us for our daily news at FreeEnergyNews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at PESWiki.com. That's PESWIKI.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.